So we will jump to Ellen Gear and Willow Gear. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, these virtual realities, the Zoom. Sometimes you Zoom, sometimes you don't. So
you make it.
Well, we'll try and track down Lisa, but I did want to mention that, by the way, she is the better half of that wonderful, the most literary family I know. Her significant other is our wonderful Andrew Tonkovich of Bibliocracy, and their son's quite amazing as well. The event, by the way, is called California Women. It's on June 4th, 6 p.m. down at Bergamot Station, and it features Golden State fiction written by great female authors, performed by great female actors, including one of my favorites, Mimi Rogers. So do go to their website, Word Theater, and check out this event that's going to be at Bergamot next week. So I did just want to get that in before we focus on all things theatricum. Another season, another opening, another show.
Off we go, Donna. Off we go.
So this one looks great. We have the proverbial Shakespeare favorite, of course, Midsummer Night's Dream. That's a perennial favorite. But this year, it's also Romeo and Juliet. Is this that's the first show in the season, correct?
That's correct. And we're really excited because Willow had the great notion of let's put actual teenagers in.
So, what a concept.
What a concept, you know. So instead of 14, we couldn't go there, find somebody. But we have two 16-year-olds, and it's quite amazing to see what happens when you look at a actual teenager going through this kind of horror, you know. It's amazing. It just tears your heart in such a way to see what can happen to purity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Wills?
We also said it in during the Gilded Age, because we were trying to think what, you know, our country's facing right now, or the world, what's our biggest divide right now, and there's so many, but the one that really came to mind was the wealth disparity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the time this country saw that the last time, as bad as it is now, was during the Gilded Age. So we set the families one very wealthy, and it's all in New York City in 1885, and there's a wealthy family and a working class family, and never the twain shall be together.
Yeah, two families divided. And I love the Gilded Age touch because, you know, just as an aside, the Gilded Age is one of my favorite series on the...
It's a great series.
Oh, my goodness. I've learned so much.
And the costumes are so fun. The actors are very happy about their outfits.
Yeah, so that's Romeo and Juliet, and that's about to open on the 13th of June?
The 6th.
Oh, the 6th. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're almost sold out for that performance. It's very exciting.
Okay. And these do run in repertory. So probably the best thing for folks to do, and we're going to talk about the other plays momentarily, but the best thing for folks to do when they're kind of planning their events for the summer is to go to the theatricum.com website and see what shows are happening when, because this is throughout the summer, through almost October, right?
Into October, the first week of October. Yeah, yeah, on the weekends, yes.
So let's talk about others in this series. Of course, Midsummer Night's Dream. Of course.
We tried to take it away one year, and we got hate mail.
Well, you have the perfect set down there in the heart of Topanga, so...
Yes, and it ends up being such a great introduction to Shakespeare for so many people who kind of think it's above them or too wordy or too all anything, and then they see that play and go, oh, wait a minute, that was really fun, and I understood it. I want to come see more. So we kind of call it the gateway drug to Shakespeare.
Yeah, and it's also a gateway for young actors because there's so many young people in it. So a lot of our, you know, new actors out of college or, you know, they come in and they can play the wonderful young lover parts. You know?
Yeah, and I do love the fact that, you know, speaking of the set, of course, it's set in that magical forest where amazing things happen. And then when you're sitting there in that lovely amphitheater down there in the heart of Topanga, I mean, you are in it. You are right in the forest, which is so great.
Sometimes the bats will fly over your head, and the birds will land on the squirrels are running lizards, and all of it's very
and the
immersive.
Exciting thing is the California live oaks. That's it's a beautiful forest here. It's really quite remarkable in the country, this California live oaks that we have in Topanga, and so you're actually in a very ancient forest, and it's lovely, lovely way to.
And the creek is still running. It goes under the stage. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And, if people get there early, there's the Shakespeare Garden. Get there early when you go, because you can bring a little something to eat. There is a snack stand there as well. But if you get there early, kind of have yourself a little picnic on those beautiful grounds. It's really wonderful. It does wonders for the blood pressure. And
yes, it does, especially where it feels like life is so overwhelming for everyone now. And you cross the bridge and you go onto the grounds, and they're so beautiful this year. The flowers are blooming and the trees and the wildlife, and you just get to take a minute. Your cell phone service doesn't work very well. so you really get to be present with the people around you. It's such a gift. I think that's half of it.
We have a wonderful thing. We took Woody Shack, Woody Guthrie. I don't know if you did. You get a chance to see it. We've turned it into a museum.
Yes, I have several times. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So it serves us very well because it's our one real indoor space. So not only is it a museum, but it's a place to gather.
Yeah, we're gonna have a docent this year to help walk people around, and it's got a bunch of stuff of Woody's as well as it has a historical things about the theater and the Blacklist and how we started and all of that for younger generations who don't really know about it that much.
Yeah, it's such an important history of the Botanicum. And, of course, Papa Gear established it, as you were saying, Willow. You know, the Blacklist hit so many actors and musicians, and, Woody Guthrie hung out there and so many others. And what a testament to the longevity of the theater that you not only were not destroyed during those troubling times, but you're still going, which is...
Well, and it's happening again, know, and hopefully it can serve as a place. Well, you can survive it. You just have to keep your fist raised and do it. Yeah. Because I mean, what's happening now, just even with our government, is stopping people from speaking out and not liking what's happening. So it I think it's a pillar for people to study past to strength.
And that's what theater does best, doesn't it? I mean,
you know,
theater is eternal, and you look at something like Shakespeare or, these classic plays and think, oh, well, what's that got to tell us? And you go, oh, my God. I remember seeing, I don't know if you saw this, it's on YouTube, I believe, on Stephen Colbert, Sir Ian McKellen was on.
Oh, that was a great speech.
He did a monologue that was 500 years old, and you would have thought it was written yesterday.
That's why we keep doing Shakespeare. He just captures humanity so well, and you're like, we are just the same. We're just the same.
Absolutely, the same, only more so, as they say. Now let's talk about Treasure Island. This is a reimagining of the Robert Louis Stevenson novel.
Boys growing up. How they make their decisions and how do boys become the men that they become, And Treasure Island, it's perfect for anybody to watch this young man going, meeting the kinds of people that manipulate, meeting murderers, meeting who they thought at first were, oh, wow, pirates, oh, isn't that exciting? It still goes on today, but these were people that were quite dangerous,
Manipulative.
And so he learned something throughout. That's why I got excited about it, because our young boys, becoming men, it's so important to be able to see themselves in this beautiful, innocent light that Jim Hawkins, who is the young man, And the boy that's playing him for us is 15.
Wow.
And he's lovely. He has a kind of open face quality. You know, I'll say to him, I say, I want you to go home and really think about what it is like to see somebody being murdered, you know, because you see it on television. You see it all over, these horrific things. But how does it really feel if it's really right in front of your face? You know,
yeah, and also we're looking at generations that are growing up not only with social media, which can be very dehumanizing, but also video games, where, you know, shooting something and causing death is it's fantasy. Oh, yeah. You know,
I got 5 today. What did you get?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, the greed and money and what turns all of these people into these monsters. It's kind of an incredible choice of my mom's, and she reimagined it straight from the novel. She just took the words right out and created her own piece of theater, and it's very theatrical.
It's very theatrical. You know, it's not, you know, we create a ship right in front of your eyes. You know, and that's fun.
It's fun in rehearsal. How are we going to make a rowboat? I don't know. Let's try this. It's very theatrical. It's really fun, you know. It's right. How do we use our imaginations here together? And it's great for a whole family to come and see that and share generationally a story that a lot of people, you know, and, you know, we've got 70-year-olds in the play who remember growing up with this book, you know, so it's a special story to share with people.
Well, and also I think that when you do these classics and they're presented on a stage, or even if people see a movie, it does, I think, encourage people to actually go back and read the book, which I think is a great thing.
Oh, it's such a good book.
Yeah, it's the other way around. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, Donna.
And then, of course, my favorite, you know, when I did theater, lo, these many years, my kind of specialty, I have to say, was Noel Coward.
Oh. Noel Coward, he's so good.
The best. Let's talk about Waiting in the Wings.
So I was searching and searching because my mom has not been on that stage for years because she's so busy directing all the time. And I said, Mom, let's get you on the stage. And so I started looking around at plays that, you know, everything my mom auditions for and other older actresses are either, you know, they're dying in everything they do, or they swear, or that they're being over-sexual and being made fun of in a weird way. And I said, I need to find a play that shows the elderly with integrity. And I searched and searched and found this Noel Coward play that didn't do very well. Lauren Bacall and I can't remember.
Sybil Thorndike.
She did the one in England, right? These big stars. But the characters are beautiful. It's about a retirement facility for actresses who've aged out of the business in the 1960s and theatrical actresses. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, 11 ladies. And in the script, it says they got to be 65 or older. They're not even allowed to be cast.
Yeah.
And they show these women with such care and hilarity and integrity. And they're petty and they're jealous and they're forgiving. And they're finding the simple sweetness of life and looking back in reflection. It's just, I dare you to watch it and not laugh and cry and laugh. And cry.
And of course, the wit and style.
Yes.
Of Noel Coward. And last but not least, the people of Pompeii, Bernardo Cubria.
It's really great. Excited. It's a brand new play that Bernardo, who is a Topangan, we did his other play, The Latino Vote, not last year, but the year before. And he wrote this play after we were all evacuated after the fire. It was commissioned through San Diego Rep. And it was his way of combating the fear, the complexity of community, how everyone came together, yet how also people were really divisive. And it really is a magnifying glass on this community and what is privilege and what is... you know what he likens it to the people of Pompeii. They knew that thing was going to blow up. The ashes were raining down forever, and yet they stayed.
But you know, the thing about it's really funny.
It's very Noel Coward-y in his humor. His dialogue is just top notch.
The thing of it is, the play is so good that yes, it's surrounded by Topanga, but it's any community after any crisis like this.
Sure.
How people get together and try and work through their different ways of staying, you know, in balance. And
well, how to work with each other with differences, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hate to cut the discussion short because we could go on, but suffice it to say that people should go to the theatricum.com website, check out the entire season. And for a couple of lucky listeners, we're going to give away a couple pairs of tickets to the performance of your choice, pending availability, of course, and we'll set you up with the Theatricum. If you've never been down there in the heart of Topanga, do yourself a favor. It's a beautiful, it'll be the beginning of a tradition for you, I guarantee. And I will be out there, and I want to thank you so much, Ellen and Willow. I will see you during the course of the summer. I can hardly wait.
So wonderful. Good, yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And thank you. And we'll do that ticket giveaway at the end of the show. So hang with us for about 10 more minutes, and we'll be announcing that. And we're going to go out with the great Sonny Rollins. This is a performance that he did with Leonard Cohen called Who by Fire. And you can call for those Theatricum Botanicum tickets, 818-985-5735. Press 1-818-985-KPFK, press 1. And the great, great Sonny Rollins.